always taking callers for him to hang up on. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, we are back. Brandon Steiner made so much money last night off that hit that he's busy counting it right now and he can't join us. But he told us that in between stacks of $1,000 bills piling up on his desk, he'll be calling us at 10:40 today to talk about the financial aspect of Derek Jeter's farewell tour. Brandon Steiner, of course, is the founder and CEO of Steiner Sports. I believe he may have made Sports Illustrated's list of top 100 sports power brokers this year. You know, when you speak of memorabilia collectors, I think people see imagine these little mom and pop shops selling baseball cards and hockey cards and things of that nature. Brandon Steiner's a CEO. They've got their own office building, and they do all the Yankees collectibles. And it's kind of interesting because the first time I met Brandon, I was talking to him. He started in the business, and he was a specialist sort of in leveraging Hall of Fame inductions into financial reward. He was the guy that turned Dave Winfield, that made Dave Winfield, I believe it was over $1.5 million a year when Dave Winfield went into the Hall of Fame. So he's kind of a different than your average guy selling baseball cards is what I'm trying to say. The NHL season is nigh. We will have preseason pucks on Sportsnet 1 tonight. Your Toronto Maple Leafs in Buffalo to play the Buffalo Sabres. At 10 o'clock on Sportsnet 1, we'll have the Calgary Flames and the Vancouver Canucks. So you'll get your taste of Leafs hockey. The Leafs made a ton of cuts yesterday. Probably nothing really surprising. Hockey cuts have always kind of, the first round of cuts have always kind of interested me because you look at it and you go, why is this news? None of these guys were going to make the team. But anyhow, the remaining Leafs or a portion of them will be in Buffalo to play the Sabres tonight. And again, that'll be puck drop at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 1. So you can flip back and forth between the hockey and baseball if you want. Darren Pang is one of our new bevy of analysts on the NHL on Sportsnet. You can follow him on Twitter, at Panger40. Darren Pang joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Darren, thanks so much for doing this. I know you've been on the station before, but I'd like to extend a welcome to you on behalf of our show, and it's good to have you aboard.
Well, thank you very much. I'm really, really looking forward to the, not only this season, but the next several seasons, and being part of the Sportsnet family, and really enjoyed going there to the production meetings there a couple of weeks ago. I thought Scott Moore and everybody did a phenomenal job of getting us prepared for it, and we're looking forward to the preview show on the 7th, and then opening up in the big studio, which that studio looks absolutely phenomenal, and starting that up on the 8th. It should be a whole lot of fun to begin the season.
Scott Moore's pretty comfortable talking to large groups of people, isn't he?
He reminds me of an old goalie. There's
I don't know if that's a good thing.
I don't know, follically challenged and likes to talk. That's a perfect combination.
That's the first time I've ever heard Scott Moore referred to as an old goalie. I love it. What are some of the goaltending angles we should be watching in training camp, Darren? What are some of the goaltending angles that have your attention?
Well, you always have to look at the situation in Toronto, because everybody knows it's Jonathan Bernier's, it's his job to lose. Everybody feels real comfortable with Bernier. I think as I've gotten to know Jonathan when he was a first rounder at LA and during the course of broadcasting national games and being in the finals, I get to talk to the backup goalies a lot. So I got to spend a little bit of time with Bernier and Bill Ranford and knowing his demeanor. So, no one's surprised where he's at right now, but you still have to go out and prove it every single day. That's the hardest thing that I always found about being a number one goaltender as compared to being the, the guy that was the second goaltender that was would surprise people or get those, you know, those starts that weren't as tough as the number one goaltender. It's as much about being consistent and winning your team over as it is about having the ability to get out of a funk, which, as we all know, even the greatest of athletes are going to have tough times, and the best of the best always get out of those tough times quicker than the average guy. And so those are the things that Toronto can't afford, a 1 week or a 2 week or a 3 week, you know, meltdown from their goaltender. So that, and the fact that James is still there, how long that lasts, who knows? Well, I guess the biggest thing with the hockey ops department in Toronto is how many teams are out there that need goaltenders at certain times, because mm-hmm. there is a little bit of depth out there that's able to be moved around. But I guess that would be number one. I think I look at Ryan Miller out in Vancouver and say, you know, how's that going to be out there? The pressure of playing in Buffalo, St. Louis last year in the playoffs, and now going into Vancouver, which, as we all know, is a different animal out there, and we're not sure exactly how good the Canucks are going to be. I like to keep my eye on Ryan. I got to know him last year when he joined the St. Louis Blues, and I really enjoyed being around him and talking hockey with him. I think he's a real student of the game. But as we all know, going into Canada and playing under that pressure can be quite scrutinizing.
Darren, do you think that his stint with St. Louis, what's the word I'm looking for? Did his stint with St. Louis maybe take a little bit of the shine off what people thought about Ryan Miller?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. I think he comes from Buffalo, where so much is talked about. He has to okay the trade. He really likes St. Louis. He treated everybody magnificently well. And he was the first to admit, and he said this to me after the season was done, that he didn't do it. He had the ball, and it was in his hand, and he didn't run with it. So I think people, they remember the Blues leading 2-0 in the series against Chicago and losing the series. And so I would say I would agree with you on that. I think even if it, because you have to understand, the rivalry between the Blues and the Blackhawks goes down back so many years, and it's not just hockey, it's baseball, it's football, it's everything about the two cities. And if he would have pulled off a win against the Chicago Blackhawks and even lost in the next round, I think that shine would still be bright right now. But and maybe he would remain a St. Louis Blue. But the way that it ended up, I would say that he's at that point now where he's got to come out of the gates with Vancouver and prove to people that he's the goaltender that played in the 2010 Olympics and had several good seasons with the Buffalo Sabres on a losing team. But you want to be a goaltender that's known as a really good clutch goaltender on a winning team. That's the bottom line.
One of the returns I think we're all looking forward to seeing this year is Pekka Rinne. After that hip infection last year, he's joining a Nashville team that boy they look like they're really up against it. I still don't know. I don't know how that coach and that team are going to match up. I really don't. It's such a change from the guy they had before. I do know this though. If Pekka Rinne's his hip better be healed, because he's going to face an awful lot of rubber, and he's going to face it early, isn't he?
He's gonna face it early. He's gonna face more rubber than a dead rat in a highway, as we all know. It's not gonna be pretty on some night, because it's such a tough division. That's just the way it is. The goaltender in the Central better all be good all the way around, from Corey Crawford to Brian Elliott to Pekka Rinne. Because as you said, it's gonna be a real unique jolt for all the players there. Listen, the Nashville Predators have a real strong nucleus on the blue line. I mean, I'll take Shea Weber, Roman Josi, you got Seth Jones. That's a pretty good three players right there. And the way that their forwards play defense always helps out, the goaltenders and the D. The forwards come back hard. But you're without Mike Fisher. Mm-hmm. He is their hardest forward by far for sure to play against if you're another team's centerman, because he's all over the ice. He really had a terrific year last year, I thought, on a team that was really struggling offensively. But Pekka Rinne, the ability that he has to play the puck, to catch the puck, for a big man, his hand-eye coordination and his ability to swallow up pucks and not give out rebounds, that should really calm things out and down around there. But with Laviolette, you just never know what he wants. I mean, in a certain shift, he might want the goalie rifling the puck off the boards and having two forwards, you know, break loose out of his own zone. He may want a more of a containment game sometimes. I think that's the unique thing about Peter Laviolette, is you've got to always stay sharp with him, because you never know what he's looking for, what edge he wants offensively. Because that's really the bottom line with Peter, is what he brings to the table offensively. And when the chips are down, he's able to rally his troops pretty well.
What do you think happens in Anaheim? Frederik Andersen, he's probably number one. John Gibson was certainly, was certainly in position with a good training camp to challenge. How do you think that shakes out?
Yeah, I just think I think they want to be careful with Gibson. But make no mistake, in my opinion, anyway, Gibson's not only their goalie of the future. Gibson's the goalie of the future.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna win Vezina trophies. They're that good defensively. They're set up for the next, let's call it 4 to 7 years anyway, as an organization, and maybe longer with some of the real good, solid defense that they have. But Gibson's unique. I think he's more consistent, more calm, more even-keeled under the pressures of a long season than what Andersen is. But I believe that Andersen will take the ball early on, and then the minute there's a little bit of a hesitation, then you can see them giving it to Gibson and see how far he can run with it. It's not unlike maybe what you will see in St. Louis. The ball will be given to Brian Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a good young goaltender in Jake Allen, that was the American Hockey League goaltender of the year last year. You know, you wait for your opening when you're that young goaltender. And I was always told, and my first pro coach was the great Cliff Coral, number 20 of the Chicago Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm.
And all he said to me, my nickname was Spank, and he said, "Spank, when you get called up and you get a chance, close that door behind you, because someone else is coming in behind you and they're not going to wait for you. So make sure that you take advantage of it and shut the door behind you."
What type of goalie does Anaheim need? I mean, they're not a team in transition, but you know, there's no Stellani. They've got Ryan Kesler. There's a little bit of transition going on there. What type of goalie? What would be the perfect goalie for the Anaheim Ducks?
A 6'5" guy that's 210 pounds that moves like a 5'11" guy.
John Gibson, in other words.
I'd say John Gibson's the guy for them. And we saw that last year. It's not just in the playoffs when he got the nod the first couple of times and just played lights out. I know he struggled a little bit in his last start, but he's been special wherever he's been. And when you've got that proven track record, every player that's played with you along the way, you know, for the 20 players that played with him as a midget, to the 20 players that played with him in the USHL, and you move up the ladder to the American Hockey League, that's 60, 80, 100 players that have played with him that'll tell you the same thing, that he's damn good. And so when players speak of you that way, you just feel this such a sense of confidence and this aura about you that, you know, that's how all the great goaltenders have come up and have paved, you know, what reputation they have. And I truly believe that Gibson's going to be that guy.
Darren, it was good of you to do this. Really looking forward to your analysis this year. And we'll do this again.
Well, my pleasure. And on that Twitter handle, I'll make sure that I've get some hockey going on now that golf season's closing in. I know I fill it with golf stuff because I'm such a golf fan, and I'm watching the Ryder Cup right now. But I'm looking forward to the year, and anytime you want me, I'm looking forward to being on your show, Jeff. Thanks.
Good stuff. Take care. That is Darren Pang, at Panger40 is his Twitter handle. I'm really looking forward to hearing his analysis this year. It's part of our NHL on Sportsnet crew. It's going to be like so much new stuff going on here right now between the Rogers Game Center and the new studio they're putting together, and some of the stuff they're doing behind the scenes. We've got the Hockey Central studio thing. It was on TV here. Looks outstanding. It's going to be a lot of fun this year. Better be careful. I don't want to get too excited. Bad stuff happens when I tend to get excited, right, Travis? Yeah. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Anytime you want to join the conversation, whatever we're talking about. My Twitter handle is SNJeffBlair. Use the hashtag Blair Show. Got an idea you want something you think we should consider talking about? Boom. Send it in. I read it all the time. Brandon Steiner, by the way, will join us at 10:40. So Just so you don't think that I lied when I said we were going to have him on. That was such a damn good tease, too, for 9:40. I'm not going to be able to replicate it for 10:40. It was such a damn good tease. It was wasted. By the way, I've got a an item up on the sportsnet.ca website right now, column, where I make the case for John Gibbons remaining as manager of the Blue Jays. It's probably no surprise to anybody who's heard the show, but I do admit, and I write this in the column, there are reasons, frankly, to not want him back. I don't agree with them, but there are a lot of you have reasons that you don't want him back, and they're not entirely illogical. I happen to think the reasons to keep him are vastly outweigh the reasons to let him go. Now, of course, I'll be accused of being a Rogers lackey. That's fine. It's not as if it's a sudden change in direction on my part. I want to have a conversation about some of the goaltending storylines in the NHL. You heard Darren talk about some of the guys he thinks are on the hot seat, some of the storylines that he's interested in following. I'd forgotten. We have no Roberto Luongo Vancouver Canucks storyline to fiddle around with anymore. I kind of miss that. Not going to be the same level of drama in Florida. But we do have Ryan Miller in Vancouver. Another guy who's, I think there's some similarities between him and Luongo. He's got a little bit of the wither me aspect to his personality, doesn't he? I mean, introspection's great. I'm not certain I necessarily want it in my goaltender. I keep thinking that interview we had Curtis Joseph in here. Remember, Curtis Joseph basically admitted that one of the reasons he was a horrible interview was because it meant the media would largely leave him alone. And he was not about to give anybody a glimpse into his soul. I loved his line. He was talking about, we were talking about Roberto Luongo, and sort of that there was kind of this sense of weakness about Roberto Luongo. And Curtis Joseph said, the last thing I would ever do is, let anybody think that I don't have complete confidence in my abilities. So I want to talk some of the goaltending scenarios in the NHL. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Which goalie's most on the spot this year? I don't know if you'd say Ryan Miller's on the spot in Vancouver, because I don't think anybody's going to consider the Canucks to be favorites. I think maybe Frederik Andersen. I mean, Anaheim is, I think we can agree that there's L.A. and Chicago. They're probably a little bit above the other teams in the West. But Anaheim certainly thinks it can be a factor. And they're going with a couple of second-year goaltenders. Now, I know that they've also got Jason LaBarbera as well. But it's clearly going to come down to Frederik Andersen or John Gibson. But which goaltender do you think is most on the spot in the NHL right now? Do you think that maybe it's Jonathan Bernier? I think maybe it's Brian Elliott in St. Louis. Maybe it's Corey Crawford in Chicago. Oddly enough, I think people still have some question marks about Corey Crawford. I think there's a reluctance to put Corey Crawford in the sort of in the upper echelon of goaltenders. And as for the Leafs situation, we talked a little bit about it with Mark Osborne yesterday. And James Reimer saying all the right things and doing all the right things so far. But I think, as Darren Pang pointed out, there's the Leafs situation is going to bear watching, because if the Leafs play this right, they can make this relationship work. I don't think making this relationship work is on the goalies. I think making this relationship work is on the Leafs organization and the team. Josh and Aurora, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Which goalie's most on the spot as far as you're concerned?
Man, it's got to be Corey Schneider.
Tell me why.
For the first time in his career, he's got the reins behind a full NHL team. He's running with it. He's number one. He's going to start, 60 games at least?
Mm-hmm.
He's got to prove himself this year.
Well, and that's an organization with just about the highest standard. I mean, you want to talk about the bar being set high. It's pretty high with New Jersey. How do you think he does?
You got to follow up, Brodeur. It's going to be tough.
How do you think he does? Do you like his chances?
To be honest, he's my number one goalie in my fantasy pool, so I'm pulling for him.
There you go. You made an investment in him. What more investment can a fan make than pulling him out as the number one guy in his fantasy pool?
Hey, I got him and then Anderson and Gibson in behind, so I'm hoping that I get one of those guys to take over soon.
That sounds like a little bit of depth there. I appreciate the call. Gibson's awfully good. I find it interesting that, Darren Pang was pretty effusive in his praise of John Gibson. They'll certainly be an interesting goaltending situation to monitor. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Again, if you want to join the conversation on social media, you can use the hashtag Blair Show or just send me a tweet at SN Jeff Blair. That would work as well. Give me an idea of what else is coming up in the show, because it is kind of in flux. Brandon Steiner, as I said, will join us at 10:40. He's the president and CEO of Steiner Collectibles. He's the guy that does the Yankees memorabilia. Jordan Heath Rawlings of Sportsnet Magazine will join us in studio. You can follow him at The Game Sheet. He'll get you set for the NFL weekend ahead. We'll break down the week 4 slate in the NFL. And we're also going to discuss Jordan's magazine piece and how the Red Wings way is spreading around the NHL. We talked a little bit about that yesterday, and how finally a lot of teams seem to have been adopting the Red Wings' use of the fourth line, getting rid of the enforcer and actually relying on guys with a little bit of hockey talent on their fourth line. And then James Sharman of Soccer Central joins us at 11:40 as well. And then it's Baseball Central at noon with Pat and Buck, along with Joe Siddle. Patrick and Owen Sound here in Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
How you doing, my friend?
I am doing well.
That's good. My idea is that whoever plays for Edmonton, whoever the goalie is, because I think we keep saying every year, first rounder, these guys are going to start playing. There's too much talent there. They're going to start meshing like not like the old Edmonton, but they're going to start putting the puck in the net, start scoring. And whoever is that goalie, whoever it is with Edmonton, better keep up with these kids when they start meshing, because if they don't, they'll get a goalie that will. And I just think whoever is in that Edmonton net and these kids, these first-rounders, start meshing, start playing well, which is going to happen. We all keep thinking it's going to happen. Why it isn't, we don't know for the last 3 years. But when it does, that goalie better be there with them when they start playing well. I ain't got to listen.
Yeah, the thing about the Oilers, too, I'm like you. I mean, I've been waiting, along with the rest of the NHL, for all that young talent to mesh. When it does happen, if it happens this year, this is just my sense. If it's going to happen this year, it's going to be like that. It's going to be apparent right away. I don't think there'll be a gradual buildup. If the Oilers are ready to take that next step, we're going to see it right out of the gate. And I'll tell you what, for the sake of Dallas Aikens, we better see it right out of the gate. But that is an interesting point. It's one thing to be, you develop a sense of comfort when you're a goaltender for a team with a certain level of expectation. It doesn't mean you mail it in, but you're aware of what your team can reasonably be expected to do. it's a different animal when all of a sudden the light switch goes on and everybody's potential, everybody reaches their potential at the same time. Now the stakes have suddenly gotten bigger. And you've got to be ready for that. And it doesn't always, it's not always obvious. I mean, we've seen teams where, in every sport, where it just comes together suddenly. Guys who have a lot of potential, guys who haven't reached that potential in 2, 3, or 1 year before, where just suddenly it all works for whatever reason. I mean, you're dealing with human beings, you're not dealing with robots. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes you get a group of 4 or 5 people together and it just works. And now all of a sudden you're going, holy cow. Now all of a sudden you're playing goal for a team that thinks it's got a shot at finishing 5th, 6th. It's a different animal than what you're used to. And it does take a very quick attitude adjustment. We're going to take a break. And as I said, be joined by Brandon Steiner, president, founder, CEO of Steiner Sports. You can actually follow him on Twitter at Brandon Steiner. It's his Twitter handle, or at Steiner Sports. And again, he is, if you're a Yankees fan, if you do business in the memorabilia market, you're doing business with Brandon Steiner. And he'll join us to discuss the market surrounding Derek Jeter's farewell. And I'll ask him. It's the strangest thing I can buy, Derek Jeter related. What is off limits? And actually what I'm interested in is, Derek Jeter put any set of guidelines on what can be sold, what can't be sold? Has he put any set of guidelines on how his stuff is marketed? Brandon Steiner will join us when the Jeff Blair Show continues. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Well, baby, what I couldn't do with plenty of money and you, in spite of the worry.
This makes me feel like having a martini right now or something. Maybe putting on a tuxedo and having a martini.
But outside of that, I've no use for dough. It's the root of all evil, of strife and upheaval. But I'm certain, honey, that life would be...
Mike Missinelli, the afternoon drive host on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philly, will join us at 11 o'clock. The Philadelphia Eagles, the undefeated Philadelphia Eagles, will be playing San Francisco this weekend. We'll be joined by Missinelli to talk about that. I remember this guy when he was a writer, before he went to the dark side. And we'll get you set for the NFL weekend with Jordan Heath Rawlings of Sportsnet Magazine. You can follow him on Twitter at The Game Sheet. Then we'll talk a little footy with James Sharman of Soccer Central. It's a big weekend of footy. We, of course, will have a ton of it on Sportsnet. There's the Merseyside North London derbies. And then Buck Martinez and Pat Tabler. You probably saw the news, both Martinez and Tabler, yesterday signing 5-year contracts to continue on as club broadcasters on our Rogers Blue Jays telecast. And Buck and Pat will both be in studio along with Joe Siddle for Baseball Central at noon. Well, maybe I'll see if they agree with my column today that John Gibbons deserves to be back as manager of the Blue Jays. It's being greeted with wholesale support on the internet, I must add. including Jamie McCallum, who says everyone is entitled to an opinion, and this is yours. Is that worth a block? Nah. Haven't blocked anybody today, though. You know, it's early. So we discussed Derek Jeter in the first hour of the show. Of course, Derek Jeter, an opposite field single to drive in a winning run last night. The winning run, I should say, last night, as the Yankees beat the Orioles. And we're sitting there watching the game. In the bottom of the ninth inning. I'm sorry, in the top of the ninth inning, thinking, all right, how's Joe Girardi going to get Jeter out of the game? I figured that what they would do is, with two out in the inning, make a defensive substitution. And the more I thought about that, I thought, well, if you do that, that means Jeter comes in the dugout and everybody, you know, gives him the standing ovation. He's got to come up and tip his cap and then, you know, then you got to go back and get the last out. So I thought, that's probably not how they do it. And then, of course, the Yankees, David Robertson blew the lead, and we were left with a delicious situation. This only happens in baseball. We were left with the tantalizing idea. I watched Ken Singleton and Michael Kay call the game. We had it on Sportsnet 1. I love the way Singleton, as soon as the game is tied up, says, well, Derek Jeter will be coming up third in the bottom of the ninth. And I started to laugh. I think I know where this is going. I know exactly where this is going. And, of course, Derek Jeter drives in the winning run. And then, of course, the celebration for Derek Jeter. And it was funny because I was thinking of David Robertson has been such a good pitcher for the Yankees this year. And there was the post-game interview with Mariano Rivera, who, of course, is the gold standard against which all closers, not just Yankees closers, but the gold standard against which all closers are measured. His post-game interview, he pointed out to how David Robertson blew the save just so Derek Jeter could have his moment. And the first thing I thought of is, there are, when you play for the Yankees, you just assume that there are going to be big moments, right? It comes with the territory. And it doesn't even have to mean last out of the World Series, last out of a playoff series, deciding game, anything like that. It's just there are moments that there are moments that come with the territory. There are moments that come with being a Yankee. And as I watched David Robertson blow that and kind of take a little bit of the shine off that particular moment, I started thinking, I wonder how many more moments the Yankees will give us. As Kevin Barker pointed out in the first hour of the show, there really isn't a face to that team anymore. I mean, I looked around, there's Brett Gardner, there's Jacoby Ellsbury, Masahiro Tanaka, Brian McCann, Mark Teixeira. Brian McCann was added by the Yankees in order to sort of provide an emotional fulcrum for the team going forward. And it's one of the reasons the Yankees gave him that contract is they knew they were losing Jeter. They needed somebody else who could be the kind of the clubhouse magnet. They needed somebody who could be the clubhouse magnet. And that's one of the reasons they added Brian McCann. But I just don't know if there's going to be anybody capable of giving us too many more moments like that. It has been a season-long farewell tour for Derek Jeter. He, of course, made his last stop off in Toronto as well. And for some people, it's a farewell tour that's gone on too long. You know those people. I mean, they've been very public about it. I've just assumed that unlike Mariano Rivera, the Derek Jeter farewell tour, it's almost been a day-to-day thing because unlike Mariano Rivera, Derek Jeter's basically played every day. Mariano Rivera as a closer is going to come in to save games. It's different than seeing the guy who's the everyday shortstop out there. Derek Jeter played a lot of baseball today this year. He played a lot of games. There's a lot of stuff that Derek Jeter has touched, worn, hit, caught, whatever. There's a ton of memorabilia from this farewell tour. Brandon Steiner is the founder and CEO of Steiner Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Brandon Steiner. You can follow Steiner Sports at Steiner Sports. They are the go-to people for Yankees memorabilia. And Brandon Steiner joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Brandon, thanks so much for doing this. I know it's a particularly busy time for you right now.
Exciting time.
Yeah, well, before we get to the, I want to, you know, I was just thinking about this before you came on. Who's the face of the Yankees now? As a guy who does business with that team, who's the face of the Yankees?
First of all, the thing you got to remember is, you know, one of the things I love about being partners with the Yankees is that they're always committed to bringing in the best possible players at every position, every day, 365 a year. So you know they're not going to be short on spending the money and doing whatever it takes. But the two players that come to mind that I really – first of all, Tanaka is a gem. It's a shame he got hurt in the middle of the season, but he's a gem, and he'll be a little bit of the face because he is that pitcher we were hoping or they were hoping that he'd be. And another guy, which you know always takes a while when you get a guy from Boston that slides over to the Yankees, but probably Jacoby is another one you got to really look at. He's a tremendous player, a lot better than anybody here thought he was. Played a lot, didn't get hurt, did a lot of things, fielding, strong arm, speed. And I think, you know, Mark Teixeira, I think now that this core four has kind of moved on and there's room for him in the leadership area, I look for him to also step up and be a face and be a leader and come back and have a big year next year. Now that there's a little more room for him to be a little more the star. Those are the three guys. I heard you mentioning before McCann, but, you know, it takes a while to adjust to a talent like this, and I think next year will be his adjustment where he'll play a lot better knowing what it's like to play in New York and the feel and touch of it. Because he's a very good player, but I don't think he adjusted so quickly. I don't think we saw the better part of him. So for him to come back and be a leader, I'm not sure he could do that all in one swoop. But Tanaka's got a lot of street credibility in New York. Jacoby got a lot of street credibility considering he was a Red Sox player a year and a half ago. And I think Mark Teixeira, people are starting to grow a little warmer too, but he's had the injuries. But, you know, I think you'll see a lot more from him too.
Brandon Steiner joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Brandon, these were two pretty powerful brands that came together this year, Derek Jeter and the Yankees brand. I don't know, can you put a dollar figure or give us some sort of context, just how lucrative has the Derek Jeter farewell tour been for Steiner Sports, Yankees memorabilia in general?
It's been, listen, Derek's been a partner, so mm-hmm. I know people are always looking for the shock of what kind of impact Derek Jeter's had on Steiner Sports, but the reality is he's had a tremendous impact every year in and year out, because he's been that kind of player with the moments, the leadership, the kind of person he is. Is this a bigger year than normal? Yes, it's a bigger year than normal, but do I owe a lot to Derek Jeter? Yes. Has he been a great partner? Yes. Has he driven sales and helped build our brand at Steiner? Yes. He's helped me, helped single-handedly been a big part of Steiner, but it would be disrespectful to the other players we have to just say it's just him, because mm-hmm. as important as he's been, you know, Mariano Rivera, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, we've had Paul O'Neill, Mark Messier has been a huge part of it, Lawrence Taylor, who goes back, Walter Payton. I mean, I can go on and on. So, mm-hmm. You know, when you look at Steiner as a company, you know, and listen, the Yankees, I know what I signed up for, and they are such a powerful brand. It's a blessing to be with them and be partnered with them. I never take that a day for granted. But there's a lot of players and there's a lot of teams that have been a part of it and a big part of it, you know. And Derek Jeter is one of the most proud partners. You know, I'm so proud of that relationship because, to be honest with you, you wake up and, you know, I'm running this company for 27 years, and you wake up and you say, God, I hope I don't screw this up. you know, a lot of responsibility. You know, you want it to go right. And then, you know, the other day, like the New York Post had, you know, we were selling a sock, which, you know, was stupid on my part. Probably didn't put that on the website. It was just in his equipment bag. We ended up selling a bunch of them, but, you know, I should know better because it's really not the thrust of our product. But I did it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get the backlash of that. And that's the responsibility part where I don't sleep well at night because it's nice to have these big names. And it's nice to have all the things things are going well, but you can't do bonehead things. Not that, you know, it's a tongue-in-cheek, it's a fun item, and we've run across some of these things before in the past, but, you know, it's a lot of responsibility. You know, when you take on these partnerships and you're dealing with greatness, you're dealing with one of the big names and players in all of sports, and you got to handle stuff right. So, yeah, it's built the business, but I probably lost a bunch of hair. Along the way too.
Hey, Brandon, the sock, of course, is, you know, I mean, I read that story, and I mean, I can remember my first reaction when I saw the sock was, who the hell would buy that? Because I know for sure somebody's going to buy. Where do you guys draw the line in memorabilia? Like, what won't you sell?
Yeah, and honestly, like, where I draw the line is something that's going to be not look good for the player whose stuff we're selling. And where I draw the line is I'm engaged and passionate about one thing, is getting the fans what they want. I mean, that's my goal every day is, mm-hmm. How do I figure out what fans want? How do I go get that for them? And I used to be that fan and that little kid. So would I like to have a pair of Derek Jeter socks when I look at it? I'm like, yeah, I would. I don't know how much that's worth. I don't know why that's such an embarrassing thing, frankly, but it's not the thrust and core of our business. I mean, I draw the line on saying, you know, is this something that's going to be embarrassing or humiliating to the player? I'm not going to, like, somebody called me up, they wanted to put Derek's chewing gum when he spit it out on an auction. I'm like, I'm not doing that. It's stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to put his jock strap on an auction. I'm not going to do stuff like that. And, you know, I'm not going to sell a urinal in the old Yankee Stadium or when we break down a stadium. Mm-hmm. But I'm just driven really to try to figure out what fans want, and I'm trying to figure out an authentic, most importantly, way to get it to them so that 30 years down the road they have the real thing, which is really everything. It's authenticity, and it's getting fans what they want. At the same time, with players like Jeter, yeah, you're making them money, but you're usually, in some way, you're helping their foundation too. And it's complicated, you know. You go back and forth. You know, I never thought I'd be selling this much dirt. I never thought I'd be selling, you know, game used, you know, balls and bases, and and this is stuff that normally would get thrown out. And you know, I was at a game and said, "Boy, I'd love to have that first base." You know, the guy had gotten a single, was his first hit, not even a big name player. I'm like, "Boy, I'd like to get that first base. I bet you that player would like to have that first base." I'm like, "Got to go and see if I can get, you know, teams to sell that." And sure enough, we did. And fans are enjoying that, you know, they're loving that. But yet, you know, people will say, well, you should be selling the bases, and they're changing them. Like, we're not getting in the way of the game when the ground screw comes in between innings and changes the bases.
Right. Derek himself, will he exercise, was he a hands-on guy in terms of what can and can't be sold?
I mean, we have an understanding. I mean, we've been doing this a long time, and I think he trusts me to use good judgment. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he knows that the fans want it. He doesn't want to disappoint it. He knows that if they don't want it, the next stage is the garbage, or what's he going to do with all this stuff? So, you know, listen, yeah, he has an idea of the things we're doing, but, you know, when I think of certain things that he trusts me after this many years to use good judgment, I don't think when I look at the sock thing now in hindsight and how it blew up, you know, I would say I use bad judgment. I would say that I should have just been smarter. We didn't really need to sell those socks. Not a big deal. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even, you know, it's a guy who gets his equipment back, saw them, put them up. Should I have been more hands-on about it? Probably. He shouldn't have to worry about that kind of stuff. And he's not. It's not like he's trying to get every last dime out of everything. It's an equipment bag with a bunch of his stuff thrown in there, frankly. And you know, whether he knew there were socks in there or not, probably, I doubt it. But, you know, he trusts me after this many years to use good judgment and to make sure that we put the right things up and not, you know, not do the opposite. So that's you're the only person I've told this story to. I'm sitting back. People are listening don't know this. It's like this story has gone national, international. that we're selling it, you know, that we're selling this stinky sock for $400 on our website, SteinerSports.com. But what's ironic is we sold like 8 pairs of these socks.
Well, I was going to say,
like a dozen pairs.
I've spoken to you. I've known you for a long time, and that when I laughed when I first saw that story, because my first reaction was, there's no way you were down rummaging through. Hey, Jeets, can I take this sock? Yeah, I know how you guys work.
New York Post, you got to look at the New York Post, and that's the kind of drama they like to sell. But the one thing I'll tell you is, you know, stink of money. You know, Yankees are selling Jeter Game Your Socks. And I would say is that's just wrong. You know, First of all, the Yankees also trust me to use good judgment, and the Yankees have nothing to do with this particular product line. This is more of a Jeter and I situation. But, you know, the Yankees are in this game. Yeah, they are a company. They do need to make profit to pay their bills, but most importantly, their always priority has been the fans. And the reason why I exist is first and foremost is to make sure all this stuff is authentic and stuff is not flying around. You know, you look at auctions and you see Joe DiMaggio bats. No one knows it's real. Babe Ruth bat. No one knows it's real. In 50 years from now, all of this stuff will be very clear as far as what the story is and if it's new or not.
Brandon, it was great of you to join us. It's always good to talk to you. Yeah, like I said, just don't find any more socks, man.
Yeah, well, I'm going to send you a pair of my socks.
I'll take them. Brandon, it's good to talk to you, my friend. You be well.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's Brandon Steiner, founder and CEO of Steiner Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Brandon Steiner. Steiner Sports is also Twitter handle. I'm trying to think. I think I probably met Brandon like 18 years ago. Anyhow, and credit to him. I mean, they're a legitimate business. And you know, the one thing you know with Steiner Sports, you buy something, it is what it is. It may be odd, but it is what it says it is. Going to talk a little NFL with Mike Missanelli. He is the drive host on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philly. Eagles against the 49ers this weekend. Jordan Heath Rawlings will join us as well. Lots of NFL talk and a little footy talk as well. The Jeff Blair Show returns on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.